Dave and Darren.
You can hear us in the morning, weekday mornings, 5:30 to 10 on Planet 93.9.
Sure, there's fun in the water, but there's danger too.
You can also, of course, hear us here in this forum. This is the best that we could do. It's the top five things that happened on the show. Where do we start?
I would go with, let's see, let me take a look at things. Yeah. I've had it right here.
Pick a card, any card.
Number one.
Number one. And this should be obvious.
Okay,
Number one.
Monday morning, we like to take a look at the advice columns. Mm. These are not people looking for advice from strangers.
No, professionals.
On Reddit. These are people who are still using the very antiquated advice columns in newspapers, which are still a thing in 2023.
I guess they just don't need the advice that quick.
It's not urgent. Get to me when you get to me.
If you get to me at all.
If at all. How can I convince my teenage brother that I am not secretly his biological mom? Oh, do I have to issue a warning? I think I do. You might want to hang on to your cat for this one.
Yeah.
Because this takes a couple of different turns.
Yeah.
They write, "This is a weird problem. I have two brothers. One is Zach, who's 38 years old. My other is my younger brother, Gil, who's 15.
Yeah.
And is convinced that I'm his biological parent and that I was forced to give him up to be raised by our mom and dad as a teenager.
I know it.
He's believed this since he was 13. It isn't true.
Yeah.
I was 17 when he was born. So, yes, it's technically possible, but
yeah,
it never happened.
Right.
The problem is there is no way I have found to convince my brother of that. He'll let go of it every now and then, but then it will bubble back to the surface.
Isn't it interesting that our DNA matches?
He approached my ex-boyfriend to ask if he was Gil's real father.
Are you my dad?
He's calling our mom and dad grandmother and grandfather.
Grandpapa.
And has made bitter, inappropriate comments about me raising my other children at family events. My children are toddlers who don't really understand him.
That is something else.
But I want this sorted out before I have to deal with that, too. Zach wants us to do a DNA test to settle this, but other proof that we've offered, photos of me that year, not pregnant, just made Gil dig his heels in harder. I believe Gil needs real psychological help, and anyway, our parents won't agree. They say we shouldn't dignify his delusion by even addressing it. That said, his birth was really weird. I was in France for a semester and Zach was at college. Neither of us saw mom pregnant. The idea that our parents might have adopted a baby is weird. Like, from who? And why? When they'd always expressed relief that she would have an empty nest soon.
Right.
But I guess it's not impossible. It's a box of worms that I worry about opening when Gil is already in such a weird place. So with that in mind, what seems to be the best way to get him to stop harassing me about being his mother? I feel mean writing it, and I know he's always struggled that Zach and I aren't as close to him as we are with each other. That's her brother. But I also just want him to stop.
Do you think I really would have named you Gil?
What kind of teenager do you think I was?
Yeah, that I would name you Gil.
The advice columnist here, Janae Desmond Harris, suggests doing a DNA test. I agree that a 2-year-long obsession with this topic is troubling, but who knows? Maybe his instinct that he's not being told the whole truth is right. Either way, it seems it'd be worth it to put his mind at ease, or you could nudge your parents to tell him the truth about his adoption.
Very similar DNA.
Well, it says that's here we've got a lot in common DNA-wise.
Well, that should be the case.
So did Dad knock you up?
No!
Am I an incest baby? That's the only conclusion I can come to here.
It's the only thing that makes sense. No, we have the same parents.
Do we, though?
Do we, though?
Here's somebody writing the Ask a Manager advice columnist. Now, these are people that have problems at work. How can I get my colleague to stop making comments about my body being too muscular? I'm going to pay attention to this because I deal with this a lot.
It's the sort of thing that you know, a lot of us deal with.
Yeah, man. The boys are here. The girls are here. And the muscle men are here.
I am currently working in an allied health field as a practitioner in a private practice and am mostly very happy with my job and my career. I'm also an avid gym goer, which has led to a problem. We have a practice manager who I will call Jane. Jane's not really my boss, as I don't report to her, but she is the head of the administrative side of things, which I guess puts her higher up the ladder than me. We don't often interact until recently due to office rearrangements. We now see each other much more often, and Jane has begun to make several comments on my body, saying that I'm too muscular and that she doesn't, quote, like men that big.
Okay.
Jane has also stated that my tattoos are inappropriate. Two sleeves of snake skulls and flowers, nothing outrageous. And is insinuating that I'm intimidating to clients, saying that clients may be physically intimidated by my physique and tattoos, and also that clients who are not in good physical shape may feel insecure about my fitness. Furthermore, Jane has made comments to myself and others that I might be prone to outbursts of roid rage.
This is what I've heard. This goes on a lot.
I do indeed use steroids, but I have no difficulty with temper and am, in fact, a very quiet guy. I did not tell Jane this, though, and I fail to see how it's any of her business as long as it doesn't affect my work. I'm unsure what to say to her, as Jane is senior to me, and I hate confrontation in general, and I was hoping you could help me with a script. I'm especially worried that she already sees me as a potentially unprofessional and aggressive person, and I'm hopeful that you can give me something that will convey that I want to drop her to drop the issue without giving her more ammo. Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds like you need a little three-person meeting, including HR, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a small medical practice. The writer here for Ask a Manager is Allison Green, who says, small medical practices are notorious for not having real management structures in place, and I'm guessing you don't have anything like HR or even a person above Jane you could go to. But if you do, skip everything above and go to that person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just have one of your, just have a roid rage outbreak. That'll shut her
or
up.
Or just intimidate the hell out of her.
Yeah, just Hulk smash your way around the place a couple of times and there you
can bust some stuff up.
How about this one? Should I continue to sleep with a much younger man who now has a new girlfriend who expects to marry him?
What?
She writes, I lost my husband of 20 years, a little over 2 years ago. Last year, I moved to another state to be close to family. I rented an apartment, and my best friend moved with me. Shortly after, I met a much younger man. He was immediately interested in me. He's sweet, kind, and handsome, very handsome. It took me months to realize that I'm also interested in him. We began spending time together, including bedroom fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mattress polo.
Is this feeling something real?
He has told me at least twice he loves me, and I told him the same. His demeanor and expressions match his words, and we agreed for the time being to be friends with benefits. 3 months ago, he met someone much closer to his age. But even in front of her, he holds me close and tells me he loves me. She has now slapped a ring on his finger and is pushing him for marriage. He keeps saying he's not ready. We feel that until the day he says I do, it's okay for us to continue our bedroom fun. I'm new to the dating world, and he's my first since my husband passed. Am I doing the right thing? What do you think Dear Abby's going to have to say to this? She says, nobody slaps a ring on another person's finger unless that person holds still for it.
Mm-hmm.
When he marries his fiance, you will be history once she realizes you're more than a good friend he loves, but also a former bed partner.
But until then, bust some stuff up.
Bedroom fun? I've never been more turned off in my life. What kind of expression is that?
Would you build a fort?
And then finally, is it reasonable that my feelings are hurt? Because my doctor didn't personally reach out to me to tell me that he had pneumonia. The doctor that I've gone to for years recently took a 5-month medical leave of absence. Uh-huh. His office would not tell me anything, which I understand. I had been extremely distraught not knowing if he was all right. There was even gossip that he had passed away. Turns out he had pneumonia. He once told me that if I ever moved out of state, we could still communicate and be long-distance friends.
Why?
It is for that reason that I thought I would get some message from him saying he would return and be okay. But I received nothing from him.
You know why? Because I can't breathe!
My feelings are hurt. I see him next week. What do you think? What is wrong with people? Uh-huh. What?
Is it possible that this is none of your business?
I don't think so.
He didn't reach out to me to tell me that he had pneumonia. I've had pneumonia a couple times. 5 months seems like an awful long time to have pneumonia.
I've never had it. I don't want it.
No.
But yes, 5 months with anything seems like a long time.
Right? But also, this is none of your business. Can you imagine if you got a call from your doctor's office and you're like, yes, and they're like, it's the doctor. He wants you to know what he's got. That's not how it works.
I think someone being pregnant for 5 months is a long time.
Yes. Hello, are you sitting down? I've got some terrible news. I've got pneumonia. That's not how anything works.
Dun, dun, dun. What? Go ahead and break it to me, Doc. I can take it.
I've got some test results that I want to share with you.
Yes, go ahead.
Wait, I haven't had any tests.
Should I sit down?
No, these are not for you. These are my own test results. Please tell me.
Oh, thank God.
Please tell me that you're sitting down, because what I'm about to say might shock you. Please tell me you're sitting down. I've got the test results right here in my hand. I didn't want to open them until I was on the phone with you, because I feel, as your physician, I owe this to you. Are you out of your mind? I've got pneumonia. I shan't be back for 5 months. I felt I owed this to you as one of my patients. The teenage brother that thinks his sister's his mom's the real winner of this event, right?
That's a good one. He won't give it up.
Number two.
Number two.
Number two.
Number two.
Two.
Two. Two.
They say the stars at night shine big and bright deep in the heart of Texas. Austin Fire Department there in Austin, Texas, has arrested a man who set fire to a historic building there in Austin, Texas. He was trying to make nachos.
So it wasn't intentional?
No. There's that.
The accelerant was not nachos.
John Daniel Banks is 32 years old. He was arrested after allegedly setting the Granberry Building on fire, which I guess is a historic building down there in Austin, just after midnight, a couple of blocks away from the state capitol in Texas, Banks was staying in the abandoned building without permission, and he tried to light a bag of chips on fire because he thought that's how you cook nachos.
Hot.
I got this bag of chips. I'll just, you know, hang this lighter over it for a while.
Like Larry trying to make cotton candy using a dryer.
Throwing a bag of sugar in a dryer.
Throwing a bag of sugar in a dryer.
Banks said that the bed that he was on when he was lighting the bag of chips on fire caught on fire, and then he tried to put the fire out and left the building.
Then it's one thing after another.
When he returned, there was a fire on the second floor.
There's no nacho cheese. I don't have any jalapenos.
Yeah, this was not a well-thought-out nacho. Not the best plan. There's an architecture firm that's next door to this building, and they had to leave that building because of the damage that was done. Brad Nelson owns Nelson Partners Incorporated. They're the architecture firm, and he says, a year ago, we just finished a multi-million dollar renovation of the whole building.
Multi-million, you say?
He says, a year ago, we finished a multi-million dollar renovation of the whole building, and it's completely destroyed.
And the real kick in the pants is, I'm still hungry for those nachos. I still have a craving.
That's the thing. If anything, I'm hungrier for nachos now than I've ever been. After seeing all the damage that I've done. Yeah, I'm looking at some drone footage here of the fire damage.
That burning building
did
not quench my appetites.
No. Would it have been easier to just go to a gas station? Look, that's information I could have used before I set the bag of chips on fire.
Listen, we all made mistakes.
Fire officials estimate damages from the fire at about, Darren.
Yeah?
Oh, no. $1 million worth of damage.
Least.
$1 million.
Yeah, about $1 million. Banks now charged with arson, which is a state jail felony. He's looking at 2 to 10 years in jail and a fine of up to $10,000.
But I've got my fingers crossed as to what they're serving for lunch.
What do they have at the commissary here? Is
any chance?
Say, I was wondering. And if I'm way off base, let me know. Are nachos something that happens sometimes around here?
I understand that it's always a beans and weenie Wednesday, but what's Thursday look like?
A lot of wish me sandwiches being served up. I don't think it would kill them to maybe have, I don't know, some south of the border, little options. Little Tex-Mex here in Austin.
Tex-Mex treats, maybe. $1 million, you say?
$1 million worth of damage he ended up doing.
Well, I consider us all responsible.
Look, if you don't care for me setting the bag of chips on fire, you would not have enjoyed what I was planning on doing with the cheese. That was going to be a war crime I was going to commit. I don't have the recipe for nachos. Is that a crime? Apparently it is.
It's a complicated thing.
There are a lot of moving pieces.
Three. All right, number three.
Number three.
Number three.
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 I don't quite understand this concept, and it shouldn't be that hard for me to wrap my brain around, but I've never really understood crawl spaces. A crawl space. It's like you had extra room, but you didn't have enough room to make a room, so you just have a space, and the idea is you shove stuff in the crawl space.
And then you're going to shove something in there, and it's going to be very difficult to retrieve.
Right.
Wouldn't it be other places you could put stuff that would be easier to get to things?
My best friend growing up, across the street, they had a crawl space. And it was fun for us because we were, nine. And eventually, if they ever needed anything out of the crawl space, they'd send him to go get it.
Sure.
It's this storage area in your home that only small children can access. And it's not really even finished. It's dirty, dusty. It's just like we had.
I agree with you.
We didn't really think this through home.
No, we didn't.
But we've got this hole and we thought, well, let's shove some stuff in the crawl space. Crawl spaces were particularly terrifying too, because you have to understand, I was growing up in the 1970s in the Chicagoland area.
Yeah, right.
And crawl spaces is where John Wayne Gacy would put all of the young men and boys. So it seemed like to me the crawl space, I had the same vibe that you would have.
It's the only function it had. It was for a right. place to bury bodies.
Right. It's where the Foscos put their Christmas stuff and John Wayne Gacy put all of his victims.
Oh, good. Another crawl space.
Crawl space? I don't understand it. And I think crawl spaces are more popular in other parts of the country. Like, if you don't have a basement, you have a crawl space. If you in a lot of America, you can't have a basement. Like in Florida, they don't have basements on account of how there's just so much water in the, you know, when you start digging there, you just
or there's too much rock.
Right, right. Like there are parts of the country, like in the plains, where they don't have basements. That's why they have storm cellars. Like if a tornado were to level us on Friday, and God hope that doesn't happen, but you hide in the basement, and usually you're okay in the basement. But if you live in a place where there isn't a basement, I mean, do you go hide in a crawl space? I don't know if I like the sound of that. Crawl space just seems like a place that bad things happen.
Yeah, who designed this?
Right? It just seems like you didn't really think this all the way through. It's like when you build furniture and there's a couple of pieces left over and you think, oh, okay, I don't know what to do here. That's what a crawl space seems like to me. It doesn't seem like something that is designed so much as
left over.
Available, yeah. Right? Now, if I'm completely misunderstanding the utility of a crawl space, please help me figure this out. Our text line, I should mention, is 563-223-8355. The crawl space is just something that's always confused me, and I can't tell you what a relief it is to hear you say that it kind of confuses you as well.
It doesn't make a ton of sense.
Right? Out in L.A., they had to rescue a plumber. And a crawl space a lot of times is where you can go in underneath and kind of
have access to something?
Have access to pipes and whatnot. I guess I get that.
Yeah.
Homeowner called for help over the weekend. A plumber comes out to do some work. 50-year-old plumber did not return for 3 hours.
Been gone a while.
After entering the 2,100-square-foot home's crawl space on Saturday. Gosh, he went in there 3 hours ago and hasn't come out. The home was built in 1958.
He's either a hard worker or he's dead.
Right? The home was built in 1958. It has a 3-foot-high crawl space beneath it. So the homeowner is starting to freak out because the plumber really shouldn't be there as long as he's been there. They call the Los Angeles City Fire Department, and they found him. They found the missing plumber. Turns out he was just taking a nap.
And it got away from him.
Oh, boy, this crawl space is so it's like all my troubles are out there. I can just crawl in this space and just get some rest. They had to use special equipment for confined space rescues. Firefighters spotted the plumber inside the crawl space. When they cut 2 holes in the floor with chainsaws to rescue him, the sleeping plumber woke up and crawled out on his own.
There's no need for a rescue. Just wake up, dummy.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Wake up, stupid.
You're sleeping in a crawl space, and then chainsaws are coming out of the... For you, what would be the ceiling, but for them, it's the floor?
3-hour nap.
Yeah, it came to an abrupt end, though, on account of how they fired up the chainsaws. Hey, I'm fine. Stop with the chainsaws. They cut 2 holes in the floor with the chainsaws to rescue him. He woke up and crawled out on his own.
Where am I?
Why are they drilling holes in the floor, by the way, when the crawl space is 3 feet high? The firefighters couldn't crawl in the crawl space and see what was going on?
And just a little bit of an update on this job I'm doing for you guys.
Uh-huh.
Probably going to take about 3 hours longer than I suspected.
Gonna have to do something about these holes in the floor.
And you, would you like me to fix these holes?
Now, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to need an Allen wrench, and I'm going to need a pillow, and I've got this white noise machine. That's to drown out the chainsaws. You're just taking a little nap, and the next thing you know, there's just holes being cut above you.
If you guys are going to continue to fire up the chainsaws, I'm going to need some earmuffs.
Plumbers charge by the hour, right? I'm not paying for the hour you were asleep down there.
Oh, unfortunately you are.
Yeah, you got to read the fine print.
It mentions naps.
In fact, I charge more for the time I'm asleep.
And full-fledged sleep.
Oh, wow. There's a lot to this that I don't understand. The fact that a crawl space even exists is probably at the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
But also, yeah, if a guy was working on my house and was underneath it for 3 hours.
I'm not going to be the sort of person that would be, you know, right on top of somebody.
Right.
Right over their shoulder.
Right.
I probably would check after every so often, though.
Couldn't you just yell like, hey, is everything okay down there?
Okay, you need a water or anything?
No, I need to call the fire department. They need to get out of your stat, because I am not dealing with this today. I'm not dealing with a dead plumber. Well, he's awake. Everything turned out just fine.
No closer to getting that job fixed, though.
Four.
The Chiefsaholic in the news this morning.
The what?
Do you know who the Chiefsaholic is?
The Chiefsaholic.
Yeah, the Chiefsaholic. This is a guy who is such a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs that he's a super fan. His name is Xavier Michael Bedudar.
Now, one of
Chiefsaholic.
One of the Chiefs super fans got busted robbing a bank.
This is who we're talking about.
That's who this is.
He is such a fan that there are reports that he robbed a bank on his way to a Kansas City Chiefs game.
In his gear?
Well, that's a dead giveaway.
It kind of is.
He has been on the run now. It's alleged that he cut off his ankle bracelet and has made a break for it. Michael Lloyd is this guy's bondsman. He was interviewed by the folks at Bro Bible about this. They say that he cut off his leg monitor at 8:30 at night on Saturday, and they have been hunting him ever since. Any leads on where he might be headed? Bondsman says he has a close relationship with his mother and brother. Those three are rarely ever separated. His mom and brother left Tulsa, and we previously believed that Xavier was with them. However, we later found out that they left Tulsa about 2 hours before he even cut off his leg monitor. So right now, he could be somewhere else, still in Tulsa, or heading towards his family. I'm currently keeping a close eye on his mom and his brother, as there's a real possibility he shows up. That's our only lead, but for now, his whereabouts are unknown. Should you be blabbing about where you think he's going if you're trying to catch him?
Seems like you're giving us a lot of information that maybe we don't need.
What happens if he gets caught? As Bondsman here says, it really depends on his location. If it's someone that isn't the Tulsa police, he'll be held in jail of that city or state. The Tulsa PD will be notified, and then it's their job to go and pick him up. In the end, he'll eventually be back in Tulsa custody. There were rumors that he made bond so that he could go to the Super Bowl to watch the Chiefs play. He's saying that he did make bail, but court officials were adamant that he could not attend the Super Bowl and watch the Chiefs play. He was given a leg monitor. So once he was out of jail, the only area he could be would be his house, which at the time was a hotel in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Why did he flee? The bondsman says the answer to that is unclear at this time, although we want truly the best for him. I've gotten to know him and some of the things going on, and I truly want to help him. When I helped him, I never would have guessed he was someone capable of robbing a bank. He possibly got pressured from somewhere. But that, too, is currently unknown.
And turns out he's not capable of robbing a bank. My suspicions were correct. Can you imagine making that sort of run, that sort of escape?
Yeah.
And if you were like a 49ers fan and making it to that Eagles game. Oh, what did I do?
Oh,
what is this?
Oh, no. Right. Or you're a Bear fan and it's the NFC Championship game against the Packers. Oh, what have I done? On the run. He's known as a wolf mask wearing Chiefsaholic.
Yes, he's a wolf.
Mm-hmm. Removed his ankle monitor. Did not show up for his court date. They are now going to add a felony charge for the ankle monitor, by the way. They found the ankle monitor in a field.
Those can't be cheap.
No, I can't imagine they are.
You're going to make me pay for that?
The first thing they tell you when they put one of those things on you is, no matter.
How would you know this?
I'm from the, Darren, I've lived a hard life.
I guess.
I grew up in a school of hard knocks. The first thing they tell you when they give you one of these ankle monitors is, as clever as you think you are, there is nothing you can do to this ankle monitor that we won't know about.
Yeah.
There's no, once they put that thing on you, it's made very clear to you.
And if it goes missing.
Mm-hmm. That would be a mistake.
You're going to have to replace it.
The Chiefsaholic allegedly robbed a bank at gunpoint. This was in a town that's about a half hour southeast of Tulsa, and he would have done that on December the 16th.
But we did get that second Super Bowl championship, so it's all worthwhile.
Have you seen the pictures of this guy's outfit? Have you
seen? I'm probably sitting next to him.
He was the guy that kept telling you to cool it with all the screaming at the AFC Championship game.
Wow, wow.
It's like he got a really cheap Wolfman costume at like a Spirit Halloween store.
Yeah.
And then he's just got a Chiefs hat and shirt on top of it.
That's okay.
Is it? I don't care for this. Quit letting people dress up in costumes to come to football games.
Yeah.
The fact that we're wearing football jerseys, that's enough of a costume.
Yes.
Because none of us are players.
No, we're not.
The jersey, hat.
That's the costume.
That's the costume. Yes. You don't need to dress up as the wolf man.
Yeah, you don't get to be the grape ape.
I wouldn't put up with this. If I own any sort of sporting team.
I can't tell who you are.
And some jackass wanted to show up in a costume for the game, I'd say get in your car and change.
Yeah.
We're not putting up with this. This isn't a costume party. It's a football game.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts. For years, there was this idiot at Sox games who'd walk around dressed as Batman. Uh-huh. It was a Batman costume, but then he put two white socks over Batman's ears. And these idiots would wait in line to get their picture taken with this mope. Like, what are we doing here? What is this? This isn't the Sunset Strip where we just...
Wasn't he always like in the 300 level?
Team? Oh, it was ridiculous.
It's like, I'm the Batman of the 300 level. They don't let me close to the field.
There was a guy at Old Comiskey, an older gentleman, and he went by the name of Andy the Clown. And Andy the Clown's gimmick was he dressed up in full clown makeup, and he'd sit behind home plate in his clown outfit, and the whole game he'd just go, "Go you White Sox!"
And so when they built the new stadium,
it was annoying. When they built the new stadium in 1991, when they built the new stadium, they said to Andy, "Andy, we're not putting up with this at the new place.
It's over."
You're not dressing up like a clown. If you want to come to the games, buy a ticket, that's fine. You sit there like a human being. This is not the circus. This is a baseball field. And I got to tell you, as a White Sox fan, I got a lot of problems with the way they run the things. But that was the best decision they ever made. But then Andy the Clown dies, and they let this guy walk around dressed up as Batman with dirty socks on his head, and people think that's okay. That's not okay. No, stop it. And Ronnie Woo Woo and that jackass at the Bear game they got a show with the Doug Plank outfit and the big goofy head, stop with this. You're not mascots. You're just regular people. And you can sit and watch the game.
Yeah, you're not George the Bear. You're not on the field.
Exactly.
What the hell you call that?
The players like me. The players didn't like you, George. They ignored you.
Come on, let's go, you guys. Jeez, brother. Look at it.
It's my favorite part of that NFL Films documentary about George the Bear, who was just a guy who bought a bear costume. And because
he
didn't
buy one, he made one.
He made a bear costume. And for whatever reason, this is when the Bears were playing at Wrigley
Field. Next thing you know, he's next to George Halas.
He's on the field. He was like they let him in. They let him buy a ticket, but then they let him on the field. And he's explaining in this documentary from NFL Films in the late 60s, early 70s, he's explaining about the high regard that all the team members have for him. And then they show these team members.
That's not what the film showed.
It's like he's not even there.
Fuck Ryan Outlaw. Holy man. What do you call that?
He's talking to Dick Butkus and Gale Sayers on the field. And it's like, I imagine it must be like for Ghosts, where you're screaming at the top of your lungs, but they can't hear you because they can't see you because you're not even there. Chiefsaholic. This is ridiculous. This guy ought to be in jail for going into Arrowhead Stadium dressed like this. And if you go and get your picture taken with this guy, remember the guy used to always be at the Denver Broncos games, yeah, and his gimmick was, I'm in a barrel. What the hell does that have to do with Denver Broncos? I'm naked in a barrel. You ought to go to jail is where you ought to go. Ridiculous.
What the hell you call that?
Stupid.
Man, what a stupid call
yes,
that was.
Yes.
Come on, let's go, you guys.
Well,
brother.
Having said that, I guess I'm ready for baseball season.
Yes. But, you know, I'll wear I'll go to a River Bandits game in my River Bandits jersey. That's kind of like getting dressed up. But I'm not putting eye black on. I'm not putting,
as a matter of fact, when I make my way to the Chiefs games.
Yeah.
I don't wear anything that indicates that I'm a fan of either team, which okay. When I was getting beers,
yeah,
the young lady, she's like, what team are you for?
Right.
I'm like, it's like, because you're like the only one here.
What are you, Switzerland?
It's like, you're like, I can't tell, which I'm like, I know you can't tell.
We don't know if we should spit in your beer or not, mister.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
I will say, having gone to games at Kansas City as a Bear fan, they were very welcoming. They were very nice. I mean, you hear nightmare stories about wearing the opposing team's jersey on the road. The fans in Kansas City were awesome, in my experience at a game there. Of course, that was the game that Priest Holmes like shattered every single record of all time. And Rex Grossman got his first couple of snaps and then broke his hand. So, I mean, what were they going to do other than be nice to us? I don't understand this idea of, I bought a ticket to a sporting event and I'm going to Halloween it up.
Which team are you cheering for? It's hard to say, isn't it?
I'll take that. Tell you what, Missy, I'll take that information to my grave. What do you think of that?
Hard to say. Hard to say what I'm even doing here.
Well, I don't. Yeah. Why? Who's playing? That's the wrong thing to say.
Number five.
Five.
Number five.
The old saying goes, build a better mousetrap and the world will beat a path to your door. The idea is if you're able to make an improvement on something, that already exists, rather than coming up with something that's completely original and wholly your own idea, if you're just able to tweak something and make an improvement, oh boy, that's the way to do things. I'm looking here at a list of everyday items with major developmental problems. Everyday items that are basically useless, according to people. And hang on before you dismiss this, because I think some of these are some excellent points. And I don't know how we haven't figured out a way to improve upon these things. So many things that you use regularly, but the way they're designed, it makes you wish you never had to use them at all. What is an everyday item that is designed so poorly, but we all just kind of go along and accept it?
Our printer.
There's one. There you go. All printers, though. I'll say all printers. My printer at home is equally useless. I swear the only thing it's good at is telling me it needs more ink.
2 seconds after you've given it more ink.
We don't print anything at my house.
We don't print anything.
Never print anything. And then when you go to print something, it's like, we don't have enough ink. We don't have enough ink. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm not a fan of most vacuums. I don't think most vacuums. I think there's plenty of vacuums that you can have dust bunnies on the ground and it won't pick it up.
Yeah.
You know, no offense, no pun intended, but most vacuums suck.
Things that the design flaw, it's like, this is okay, but it doesn't work as well as it's supposed to. Here's some of the ones that they came up with. And if you have any to add, text line is 563-223-8355, or the studio line is 309-434-5151. Those convenient zip closures that they started putting on everything a few years back, like you get like a frozen food thing, or it's like you open here and then there's a zip closure. They started putting them on at things a few years back. 80% of the time when you rip them open at the little cutouts, it doesn't even open the bag, so you need scissors. You also need Coke nails to reopen them, and half the time, they don't even seal properly because the zip tracks aren't properly aligned.
You have to be a Coke fiend.
I've gotten to the point where I just go ahead and use scissors to cut that stupid waste of plastic off and use binder clips to close them.
There you go.
Dead on. That's been my experience. There's the little thing where it's like, here's the little perforations. You should just be able to tear this off to get to the zip thing. No, you can't. And when you do, the zip thing usually like rips, or you rip it open in such a way that the zip thing that they've put in there is
disabled.
Completely useless. Soap pumps, at least the pre-filled ones. The tube always goes right to the middle where there's a divot in the plastic. You are not a soap, but the soap that's around that divot where the pipe is can't reach the soap.
You can't access the soap.
Mm-hmm. I own the classic Pyrex glass measuring cup in my kitchen. It has a spout, and yet it still spills all over the place when you pour from it. Despite this, these Pyrex glass measuring cups are very common items for people to own. This one is on the Kraft macaroni and cheese boxes. They have a push-open tab.
Yes.
I have never, they say, never seen it work the way it's supposed to in the directions. It's true. Every time you make Kraft macaroni and cheese, you just rip the top of the thing off. You don't push it in the
Well, bucket. And here's the thing with stuff such as that even.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to follow, I mean, and this happens with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
If you were to follow the directions verbatim.
Yes.
It could be just heating something up in a microwave.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to follow their directions, it's never going to be done. The directions are never correct, ever. If you were to heat something or do something the way they say, it would be half done. Don't you find?
They, more often than not, I end up not following the directions as presented because it's not going to work.
Not a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know on what planet you're living on that you think that this TV dinner is going to be heated up in the amount of time that you say it's going to be.
Pancake batter in a box, the powder, right? It's got like that metal thing on the side.
Yeah.
Where if you rip it open and then it's supposed to pour out.
Yeah.
that metal thing either falls out of the box.
Or falls in.
Yeah. Or when you go to pour, it's not exact at all.
No.
Completely useless. Someone's suggesting umbrellas should make this list. Umbrellas, okay, they kind of work to keep you dry, but that's only if there's no wind at all and all of the rain is on a dead vertical drop. Otherwise, they turn inside out with the merest gust of wind and they only serve to poke people's eye out on the street. Plus, when you fold them back down, they just drop water everywhere. This next one, I wonder if they're using it right. They say the plastic film over the top of ready-to-eat meals. It always, always splits, and you can never get it all the way off. Aren't you supposed to split the plastic covering
sometimes
on a ready?
Sometimes you're supposed to just pull it off a little bit.
Okay.
But it does splinter.
Here's more. Someone suggesting sun visors in all cars are all the same, and they're all mostly crap. Here's one, and I can speak to this because we have one of them here at our new studios. The air blow hand dryers. They're terrible. As far as I can see, they do next to nothing. You can't really get your hands dry with those air blowers when you wash your hands.
Well, here's the thing that this used to be the case with like the hand, when hand blowers first showed up.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of time it allowed you to get your hands dry was never enough.
Right.
But when you started the second one, you didn't need that much time.
There you go.
They just didn't have it calibrated for the right amount of time.
Here's the other part of that equation. When you're at a public place and they have those touchless sinks where you just wave your hands under the... How often do you wave your hands and you're sitting like a dummy?
And nothing's going on.
Never works. And... touchless sinks in public bathrooms, they don't stay on long enough for you to rinse the soap off your hands. It's the same situation.
Again, it's the same thing where they're trying to save money, but what you end up doing is using it twice as opposed to using it once.
When you're washing your hands, you're supposed to sing a happy birthday the entire time you're washing your hands. And those touchless sinks, you don't even get to the to you and happy birthday to you. The refrigerators...
That's a good way. You sing happy birthday in a public bathroom.
Well, not out loud.
That's a good way to get picked up.
I think you're supposed to do it. No. I think you're supposed to do it in your head. I don't think you're supposed to.
That's a good way to find a different ride home.
You invite just everyone.
Just everybody.
The refrigerator's through-the-door ice dispenser shoots pieces of ice onto the floor, no matter how carefully you hold the glass against the unit. This is just a two-word one, and this is brilliant. The way bacon is packaged, what's going on with that? You can't just take it, unless you're doing... all the bacon.
Well, that's basically what you kind of have to do. You have to commit to the whole thing. You have to commit to the whole package for the most part.
Or you have to get another Ziploc bag.
Yes, yeah.
But it seems like bacon
packaging.
It's
never going back in its original package.
Never.
No chance.
Never. The pull tab on certain beverages that never work, no matter what technique you use. See, that's never been a problem for me, pull tabs. That, I think, is fine. Saucepan handles that get so hot you have to use an oven glove to pick them up. Like, what's the point of that? Cereal boxes, double the waste for no reason. Just use a bag.
Well, yeah, the bag that's within the cereal box,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't open properly.
Never. Here's another one. Kids' cups at restaurants. Make the cups wide at the bottom and taper it upwards. And you'll have significantly less spills.
That makes sense.
Use this idea as you wish. And if you get rich, remember me.
As a hero.
I'm just doing my part.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, it just seems like these are all things that we should be able to figure out. Bacon packaging, everyone just tolerates the way bacon is packaged. Is it because if you were to make the bacon packaging more utilitarian, it would jack up the price of the bacon.
Well,
already at a place where we feel like bacon's
too much. I'll
tell you what,
the thing is, the reason it's packaged that way, I'm sure, is because big bacon wants you to use an entire pack of bacon every time. They don't want you to use it three times two times. They want you to use it all in one shot, so you have to go buy more bacon.
Yeah. But usually four slices is all I'm looking to make.
That's not what big bacon wants you to do.
And then the thing just collapses, and it's just a big, greasy mess. I would say bacon packaging needs to be at the top of the list of things that we got to get figured out. And then the hand washing. And then I'll sign on for the...
And a vacuum that's capable of sucking up dust bunnies. Or crumbs. Could you at least kind of suck up crumbs?
That's always disheartening when...
You're just going over and over it again.
Right.
Yeah, the crumbs are still there.
And you know that you've done, like you've
So I've got to get the wand out? I have to get the wand out? I have to get that out to suck up crumbs?
You've removed all of the stuff from the vacuum. You've got all the filters exactly the way you want.
Yes.
And then you go over something and you're just pushing it around.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is disheartening.
Come on.
That is all kinds of upsetting when that happens.
What is the point?
What are we doing here? Text line 563-223-8355. Jim texting in. He says, my Kirby vacuum sucks up anything within an inch of it. It's a tank, but it works fantastic.
Okay, I'll give you like one of those old Kirbys, maybe.
Growing up in my house, we had a rainbow vacuum. You ever heard of this? Mm-hmm. This thing was... For some reason, you put water in it. It was weird. The thing was like a big dome. Like you were pulling around a droid. And then it had the hose and everything. But at the bottom, there was this tank of water. So all the gunk would go in the water. And then you would just...
That sounds like you're shampooing something.
No. It was a vacuum that used water. It was like the dust where all collected all the grime would go in the water. And then you just had this murky, watery goop that you had to deal with.
Sounds to me like you're shampooing a rug.
It was not shampooing. At no point would anything get wet. Huh. All of the water was contained inside the rainbow vacuum. And the rainbow vacuum did a hell of a job, but the problem was it was a lot of work.
Yes.
So like the rainbow would only come out at my place growing up if like people were coming over. If it was like, okay, everybody, we got a thing where people are coming over. This is an occasion where go to the closet and get the rainbow. You'd use it maybe twice a year. And man, this thing would take everything. But again, at the end of the day, you just had this big jar of black goop. I don't know what the hell you're supposed to do with it. Pour it down the sink? That seems like a mistake. I don't know what are we supposed to do with all this nonsense?
Let the neighborhood kids play with it.
I think Thomas texting in here saying, "Yeah, rainbow vacuum. It looked like one of those old Igloo two-tone water jugs. That's exactly what it looked like. That's exactly what it looked like." And the rainbow vacuum was one of those things. Like, did your parents ever, in the course of conversation with other parents, kind of turn into little like they were doing a testimonial, like a commercial? Because like mom and dad wouldn't shut up about that rainbow vacuum.
Is that right?
Oh yeah. It was like, you know, we're not being paid to endorse these things.
You're not being filmed right now.
Yeah. Oh, my rainbow vacuum, it works like a dream. It's like, are we getting money for this? Why are you telling the neighbors about the rainbow vacuum? It did work though. Like your problem with the dust bunnies?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have that in 1985 with a rainbow vacuum, is what I'm telling you. Big brown monstrosity that, man.
And I understand the old-fashioned big, heavy tank Kirby's work, but that's a commitment.
That's the thing. Not really looking to
finance another car.
Right. If I'm walking around and it looks like I got one of those Ghostbuster proton packs on my back, I don't need this. This seems like a bit of a commitment to just try and get just some stuff off the floor.
Just to clean a rug.
Right? There's a dust bunny. Get it! This is more work than I'm willing to do. I understand that this will... Don't cross the streams, Darren. Do not cross the streams.
They're effective. I just didn't really want to take out a loan.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was Dave and Darren's top five things. Again, you can hear the show every weekday morning live.
Isn't that
at
something?
Planet 93.9. Until we get a chance to do this for you again, hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities. Representing. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport. Yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out. Come on. And it just don't stop. East Moline. Yeah, they keeping it hot.
I'm done. Do what you want. Pull the plug.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.